Welcome to The Morning Crew, a grief podcast hosted by three gals in their mid-20s. Here, talking about grief is completely normal and a part of our everyday life. So grab a cup of coffee or a drink. Grief conversations can actually be that casual. So let's talk about it.
Hello, and welcome back to The Morning Crew. There's just two of us today, Kelsey and Mads. If it sounds a little bit different that we don't have our Kathy intro, she got caught up with something from work, but we wanted to still get together and check in and catch up. It's funny, I feel like right before we started recording, Kelsey was like, you can be Kathy for this part. And now I feel like I've got a lot of pressure to be the perfect Kathy. But how are we doing, Kelsey?
Pretty great. Kathy has big shoes to fill, but yeah, she's killing it in her job in New York, but Mads and I are going to hold it down today. Funny that Mads and I have never done an episode just the two of us. It's the final two pairing of an episode, so checking that off the list. I miss Mads. I haven't seen her in a while, so selfishly, this is still great for me to see her and hear from her, but we're good. I'm in a season of lots of weddings and events and family trips and crazy work projects. So we're all over the place. We're packing, we're unpacking, we're finding dresses, we're doing all the things, but enjoying summer. How have you been?
Good. I know. I feel like you've been so busy and with Kathy and I've been popping around. I feel like we've not been in our home states very much together to even have time to connect, let alone all the other, you know, big, heavy emotional things we talk about on here. But I'm doing well. I feel like this year has been kind of going so slow and so quick at the same time. I have been on an exciting note. I've been trying to do some new things this year leading up to my 30th birthday next April. So today I actually harvested my first crop of basil and some various seasonings and spices that I've been growing on my porch. So I've made some amazing pesto today. So that's pretty exciting. But besides that, just kind of the same old. Don't really have any exciting weddings or trips going on. I don't really think I have anything crazy big on the radar, but I am excited to be living vicariously through you and Kath on your wild adventures.
Wait, the pesto sounds delicious though. I love it. And you might need to post this like list of things you're doing before your 30th birthday to inspire others. How did you come up with the list?
I don't really know. That's a great question. I was trying to think of things I wanted. Like, I always am trying to learn and like do new things and try new things. And I've kind of gotten like stuck in my ways because I'm happy with Will and, you know, we are like living together and everything's really good. But I'm like, I need to push myself out of my comfort zone because I'm just spinning and spending time with him and my good friends and just trying to do new activities and things. So I made a list of 30 new things I want to do before I turn 30. And the list is growing, but the idea is to kind of do these activities with the people who do them, like learn from my friends and learn from my people I love. So like my stepdad taught me how to fish, and I got my fishing license in North Carolina, which is kind of crazy, because I don't like to touch the fish. I don't like to touch the bait. It was one of those bonding experiences, but kind of looking at it as a way to connect with my people and learn to do the things they love. So far I've knocked out about 10 of them.
I love that. Wow, great pace. And you still got loads of time before April to knock out the other 20. But I love that it's tied to learning something from your people. So it's not even something you're just kind of like doing in isolation for yourself, which would still be cool, but doing it as a way, yeah, to connect with people around you and learn something. I'm inspired by that. I have less time than you. I have till October. Maybe I can do power mini version of this before I turn 30. But I love it, Mads. That is amazing. And shout out to Will, as always, the collective boyfriend of the Morning Crew. We love him and with him. And I'm glad you are still so happy living with him.
Yeah, he'll be happy to hear he got a shout out. I was talking to him the other day and I was like, it's actually kind of crazy that I still like you so much. Like, we live together. Like, I would expect to be kind of sick of you by now. But all good here on our end.
I'm glad you guys are so good day to day. I know, and I want to acknowledge and make space that you have also had so much happening this year and have just been dealing with one angle after another of grief and grief layers and being support and processing your own grief. And we had a really big check-in in our last episode. So I want to check in with you and see, how you're doing with everything, how you're processing it. More time has gone by. You've had possibly other anniversaries. Just overall, what's on your mind? How are you feeling from a grief perspective?
Oh, what a question to start us off. Yeah, it's been insanely weird this year. If you are listening for the first time, or just as a refresher, my friend Vikesh had passed away in the airplane crash in Washington, D.C. at the end of January. And shortly after that was when we recorded our first episode of the year, and I dipped out for that reason. And then I think I recorded one more since then. And honestly, I just haven't really wanted to. I think I told you guys leading up to that episode, I was like breaking down, not even sure if I was going to do it that day. So it's interesting. And there are a lot of parts and layers, as we always say. I think a big, big part of it now is that just like the suddenness and like how young he was, and that it just wasn't like, that's just been kind of been like, I think, not that I have to figure out why it is making me feel this certain way, but like it's been an everyday thing. And I think it's different of like having like, you know, a grandparent, which is still horribly sad, pass away and devastating all in one, but trying to make sense of why certain things are happening has been a big part of it too. So yeah, I've been kind of avoidant to the pod, to the project, to not even wanting to help with, like not wanting to, but not feeling the motivation to. And it's not even just the pod, it's kind of like everything. And so I feel like I've been, I wouldn't say as strong as like a depression, because I've struggled with depression, you know, a major depressive disorder, and I take medication for it, but it's just been kind of like a fog this entire year. And while I'm really grateful that we've been able to continue to gather in spaces and with Vic's friends, with my friends, with his wife, who is a very, very dear friend of mine, it's also, it just, I feel stuck for the people that with like the fact that this is all happening and we're all together for these moments, but then it's like, I feel like kind of not stuck in the sand, but like, it's like everything else is still going on with my other friends or my other groups or the podcast or work. And I'm like kind of the Taylor Swift, where she's like, help, I'm still at the restaurant. Like, I'm still at the restaurant. And so it's really nice when we all can get together. But then when life kind of slows down a little bit, it still feels like I'm kind of just sitting there. And I know, and I'm sure that you and Kathy have felt this way similarly, because you have had such a daily, you know, a sudden and not sudden, but an unexpected and not in the order of events death that you deal with every day. But this has been really, really tough. And I mean, I could, there's just lots of things I think from little things, like my memory's been really shitty. And I'm like, I don't know if that is grief or if that is the medication or is that is all of the other crazy things that have been going on in the world, because the world is scary even when you aren't having someone die suddenly right now. And so there's a lot of pieces to that. And a lot of times we're finding peanut butter in the freezer and things not where they should be. But I just kind of feel like I'm on a treadmill now, and I'm hoping and wanting to get myself back a little bit. But I do feel like every time I kind of get up there, I can't. So that was kind of a very heavy answer to your question, Kels. And I don't know what you can relate to from that, or how you've seen that from me externally viewing me and talking to me and keeping up with me from afar. But yeah, it's been really brutal.
No, and that's so honest and so relatable, and the very like, I'm still at the restaurant reference to Taylor. As a Taylor person, I fully understand it. For non-Taylor people, it's a lyric in her song of kind of this feeling of like, you're still stuck or processing or in the trenches with this loss, and the world around you is still moving on and moving forward, and like you're experiencing that happening, but like you still feel stuck. And I definitely can relate to that feeling, at least the first like 6 months to the year point, like after my mom passed. Like I very much can relate to that fog feeling, the like, yeah, not feeling as motivated in certain areas, getting more tired more easily, feeling insane that like the world is going on and I'm still in like a shock state almost that this horrible thing happened. And it is wonderful that you are able to still gather with the people close to him as a way to feel and honor him and support his wife, your good friend, and all of that. But like, I completely, completely relate to it. And I mean, from the podcast perspective, certainly all of us have been busier this year, and it feels a little bit more disconnected than any of the other years or seasons of the podcast. But I couldn't, like, I could just tell from knowing you that I feel like you're kind of in your bungalow, like, hunkering down, your bunker hunkering down, like trying to just like get through this phase, because you mentioned, and obviously Vic is the most like prominent grief and loss in your life, but you also have others and anniversaries of others and all of those things swirling around mixed with, like you said, the heaviness of the world. So I, as like your friend and somebody who knows you, totally, totally understand. But you did say today you did feel like ready and a little bit more ready to talk about at least parts of this on the podcast. Do you think that's because you are starting to just feel a glimmer of like, I'm kind of ready to take little steps? Or what do you think it was today that made you feel ready to kind of talk about things more?
Honestly, that's a good question. And I honestly think it's because this is something I signed up for with you and Kathy, and I love you guys a lot. And I know that you put a lot of work into this and that I need to show up to something I signed up for. For lack of it, I mean, I could have easily, you gave me the out when Kathy wasn't able to meet. You were like, do you want to not meet? And I was like, no, it's been in the back of my brain all day. I just haven't really wanted to. And I haven't, it's also weird because being disconnected is such a good word for it. And I want to step back and also say that I had mentioned, you know, your mom and your mom's loss. And I know we're very specific and clear to say, like, it's not like a comparison thing. So I just want to go back and say, like, I mentioned that as a point of reference, which I know you know, but like
I know. Yeah. It's a point of reference because even though grief is not identical, we have like our frame. And like you said, when it's like an out of order death, that still is categorized. I totally understand.
I appreciate that. And totally. I knew you did. But yeah, feeling disconnected is really just a good way to put it. I wrote down that word when you said it. And I don't know if I've been trying to maybe put a little bit more of one foot forward, one step forward at a time. I've been doing silly things. Like I started reading The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins because I'm like, maybe if I read a self-help book, it'll help me. But I think it's just one of the big themes is that it's really hard for me to realize that like I'm an adult and like we're adults and like I'm helping my friend through the loss of her husband and she was married to for a year when I just was in their wedding with them. Like it's like that, just like being an adult, I think has kind of stunted me too. And being like, this is like adult problems. And, you know, I talked to you about some other things going on off air that I will share down the line. And so like dealing with helping friends through things that you don't never even had to think about happening, is just really, really crazy. But to fully answer your question, I think it's just knowing that like, I am trying to get back into it. But I also think that I owe you guys or my friends or me and myself too, you know, right? Like this is something that we get to do together. But it is kind of funny when I'm thinking about it. I'm like, we started to make this podcast so we can talk about what's going on and other people don't feel alone in it. And I'm like, but I don't want to talk to those people right now. Like not in a way that I don't want to talk to those people, but I'm like, this is so fucking hard when you're in the middle of it. And like you said, just trying to make sense of it and coming back to it every day. And it's also another piece of it, which is interesting and not in a bad way at all, but Will has never lost anybody. He didn't even know his grandparents. So every day he's been so freaking patient and lovely and open, but like, I don't have someone that I'm going off of all that, but I don't necessarily think that's what I want. Cause if I did, it's when I text you and Kathy for it. So it's all just kind of a confusing process. But that's a really good, really good question to think about as to why we, you know, stuck to it.
And one, there's no timeline for how you process grief. And as we know, it's not like something you just do and check the box and move on. It's something you're battling, something you're processing, something that's always in your mind in some form. And it was something that happened so suddenly. So the fact that like you have not wanted to like lean into speaking about it and being on a grief podcast, like I'm sure I speak for Kathy when I say like if any two people understand that, it is us. So obviously you have no worries there. But for anyone listening who's in that kind of phase where it's like, and I know we've talked about this before, it's like right after a loss, you have the flooding of support, you have all the people messaging, sending flowers, cards, and then that dust settles and you're kind of this in this abyss of like returning back to life. And it's that feeling of like, yeah, that disconnect, that stuck, that trying to like get your feet under you again. And so I think, I hope that you cannot like place judgment on any of your feelings or actions in this, something that's unbearably hard to go through in terms of quote unquote, how long so, like a part of the grief process is taking you. Like, I think it's all very fluid. I'm honored and excited to talk to you today. And I'm glad that you said yes. I did want to give you the out, but I'm glad that you said yes so we can talk today. And I hope some little part of you can feel like it was helpful at the end of it. But I hope you can be kind to yourself that this is an astonishingly difficult layered loss. And it could just take longer. And it's one of those things that like time is kind of the only thing that like will let you pass. And I don't mean time will erase anything. I want to make that very clear. But it helps in that healing process and in that readjusting and finding your new normal. Like we talked about maybe in one of the earliest episodes where you see like the big black ball in like a jar and it's like grief takes up so much of it and the ball never goes away, but the jar just kind of like grows a little bit bigger and you're just, your jar is just still growing. And I love knowing that Will has been so lovely and patient with you, but that is such an interesting point that he's not been through a singular loss, not even a grandparent. And to your point of like, shit, we're adulting big time and dealing with adult problems can feel like a tsunami wave hitting you and like, wait, I'm still a kid. Like, why am I dealing with this? And for anyone who's listening who deals with grief at a young age, whether you're literally a child like Kathy did or you're in your 20s, like all of us, it feels unfair. You're less connected to your peers because likely, which is a good thing, like most of your peers haven't gone through something like this. So navigating something so heavy and big with way less life experience than when most people handle it, like 60, 70, ideally you're so much older, is a lot. And adult, like normal adulting things is still a lot, like juggling, getting your oil changed and like weird house things and bills.
Insurance
and
like
insurance
shit.
And like learning all of that that no one taught us in school and piecing that together and meal prepping and grocery shopping already is a lot. And then throw in something at this level and layer. I'm curious for anyone, I'm sure people who are listening who maybe are more supporters, like a Will, what are examples of things that Will has done that has made you feel loved and supported, even though he has not experienced any of this himself?
Yeah, that's a great question. He has been, especially in the first couple weeks, months now, anytime I will randomly bring up, like there was weeks that I would bring him up every single day and there was no like rhyme or reason. It would just show up in a conversation and Will just would like stop what he's doing and like turn to me and like listen to me. And that sounds so silly and like the levels on the like the base like line is on the floor, but like we live together, right? So like we're working and talking and like maneuvering and making coffee around the other person's schedule. Like we're doing different things together, and so it's unfortunately more rare when you are in like such a partnership with someone to like sit and like fully just sit and look. Like we're not talking about the dogs, we're not talking about who's gonna drop off the rent check, like what we're gonna have for dinner, and he just would like, whether it's work or not, he just will stop and listen and also not push or ask too many questions. And I don't know if that comes from him not knowing what to ask, but like he mentioned this last week, I had another memorial to do that I got to be a part of for Vic. And he stopped and he watched parts of it with me that I asked him to. I mentioned beforehand. And then afterward, he was like, I just want you to know, like, I know you've been sharing, but I would also love to like keep hearing more stories as they come to you, like just kind of making that awareness there. And like we're framing one of Vic's recipes that he has handwritten up in our kitchen. And just like he's just been really lovely to, although he doesn't know, just showing up in like the ways of like letting me feel it, letting me switch any conversation at any given moment about it to the fact that my friend died. Like, he's fully, whether it's taking out the dogs on a day where I'm extra, when I'm a day when I'm like, I'm not feeling there. I know this is not true. And I know this is not true for any of our listeners, but I do, and I said this, verbalize this to him today. Sometimes I've been feeling lately that I've been a little bit hard to love because of all of it. And I said that to him actually this morning, and he was like, I think you're putting too much pressure on yourself, like you said, Kels. But he's just been so lovely. He's never made me feel that way. And he's just as whether like, yeah, yes, the other day I was had the Vic Memorial, and he went to go to run to the dollar store to grab something because we have a dollar store on our block. And he got a sugar-free Red Bull. And I was like, why'd you get a sugar-free Red Bull? He's like, just for whenever you want it. Like, I know that's like that's your go-to when you're like really like having a day. You need like an energy drink or whatever. And it's usually a sugar-free Red Bull. So like just like doing little things like that and like showing up in the ways that he knows that he can, and just giving the space, but also like not putting any pressure or feel, he's really good at feeling out the vibe of me in general, grief, and not like knowing what I need and knowing what I don't. I think that's part of the reason I love him so much. But he's been really, really sweet. Just like I said, giving me the full attention when I need it, having me make adjustments to the house or the things, like, you know, just a lot of little funny things. Like him and Vic both hated this rug that Vic's wife gave me when they moved. And I was like, we can never get rid of this rug now because Audrey gave it to me because Vic hated it when they were moving in together. And like, now you hate it, but like, we're not getting rid of it. He's like, yeah, we're keeping the rug. Like, just little things that come up in the day to day. And I feel very lucky and very grateful. The most of all, just like giving me the grace and the patience and not expecting me to do the things or being okay if I don't have the energy to do all of the things that I normally would do.
No, it sounds like, and it's not something that's just bar on the floor, the like really being present and listening and holding space and hearing you anytime you want to talk about it and dropping whatever he's doing to do so is exceptional and wonderful. And it sounds like, yeah, he's not trying to relate because he can't. So he's just trying to hold space and support you and be there and be extra thoughtful and patient. And that sounds like the best thing a partner could do anyway. But what a magical shining star example. So that makes me so happy. And I love, love, love to hear that. So massive secondary shout out to Will. And you mentioned the memorial last week. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, since obviously a little bit more time has passed, like what the meaning of that one was and how you were involved in it?
Yeah, so there's been a couple. So there was one last week that was just, it was virtual. I watched it. It was in Ohio for the headquarters of his company. And that one, it was nice. I watched it, virtually. His wife spoke, his parents spoke, a couple people that spoke at the funeral spoke. I laid on the couch and sobbed and watched it with the dogs. There was another memorial that was in June, and I know I was sending you guys pictures or at least posting them. His company, I'm sorry for my stuttering. I'm trying to figure out what to share and what pieces not to share. I know it was public in People magazine that where he worked, but he worked for an aviation company, and they have a headquarters here in Wilmington. And so that's why he moved here, and that's why Audrey was here as well. And so they did a memorial bench for him at that plant, which was very cool. He used to work in an office that oversaw this kind of parking lot and this like whole field area. And I guess I learned this in the past month. I guess he used to have people do their like one-on-ones walking through the parking lot. And even if it was like the 100-degree North Carolina day, like I just told you about, they would be like, it's like, why can't we do this in the air-conditioned office? And he'd be like, let's just like get ourselves moving, like get our brains moving. And he would just have people walk. And so on the outside of this parking lot now is a fountain that's very pretty and a memorial bench that I can post some photos of and share. It was really great. So the place that they work is a national, worldwide company, in the aviation space. And so we had to go through like background checks and like a lot of things to get access to the bench. And I was one of the very few, maybe one of four or five people that were not, probably even less, one of like three people that do not work at the company that were there. So there's a bittersweet part of it because it's not like it's open for me to go back and sit on all the time, but it was really great to like meet people that he had mentored, and people were coming up to me and asking me to give Audrey their wishes and certain words and thoughts. So it kind of felt nice. So it was almost a, like I was a little representative of, you know, our little surfing group that we all are a part of, because I was the only one that was able to make it that morning. But it was really great. Bittersweet, of course. They had the guy who put it on is a wonderful friend of mine, and he made stickers. So we all have a bunch. He gave a bunch of like of stickers of Vic to put around and to have around. I will say it was a little bit tricky. The first, as soon as you get in, there's a big sign, and I looked this up online, and it is public information, so I'm not spilling a trade secret, but their tagline at this company is we lift people up and bring them home safely and give them the gift of flight. And so it was interesting because that was the first thing I see when I'm pulling in, and I'm like, although the issue with the crash as to why Vic died was not any issue with what they do or the what they make, he was on a work trip. And so I was like, we lift people up in the sky and we bring them home safely. I'm like, well, you didn't bring my friend home safely, and that's why we're here. So there was kind of some ironic things. Again, it wasn't their fault, wasn't the company's fault. But they've been doing a really good job of honoring him. Like I said, I've gone to two of their company memorials now, as somebody who has never had access or known anything about the company. They were sharing, like I said, recipes and things, and kind of working with his wife to really make sure that he was, you know, he's being honored. And it is just amazing. And Will said this, he was like, you know, I just hear all these stories every time someone talks about him. Like, he really just seems like he was like incredible. And I was like, no, he really was. And it's nice to hear from everybody who he mentored, who he managed. Everybody just loved him, and he really inspired a lot of people to live their lives different ways. And I think that's really amazing too. So yeah, that's kind of been a little bit of the last chunk. I know you've also had a ton going on, so I'm happy to answer any follow-up questions or go on more, but I also would love to hear about some of the trips you've been taking and some other really exciting things going on in your life, if you're open to sharing.
Yes, no, and thank you for sharing that too. I'm sure all the different stages and spaces for the different memorials like come with their own package of emotions and in different ways and hitting you at different points. But it also feels really important that you've been consistently like a thread throughout and involved in so many of them. And that sign is evilly ironic and would have definitely, definitely been a stinger to see. But I love the stickers. I love also hearing all the stories about how amazing he is. And I am just inspired by you and your involvement in all your community and the ways you're supporting Audrey and the way you're supporting and showing up like at his work, like even with Audrey not there, like just you are stepping up in this phase when it's so hard for you and just like being there and representing, and very, 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 very inspired and proud of you, even though it's a horrible situation that I wish on nobody to ever, ever, ever be in. But yes, there have been some fun, exciting things going on this summer. The headline being that my sister Kylie is engaged, which is so exciting. Yay, Kylie, honor.
Eloise is excited about it too.
Excited too. Oh my gosh, that was adorable. And we are so happy for her and Connor. It was a whole ordeal. God bless Connor. He talked to me back in January. So logistics and planning and secret keeping and figuring out rings and timing spanned for all of the year, basically, for me. And then it was early June that it happened at the winery that they love going to together. She officially was 100% floored, surprised. So, like, successfully all secrets were kept. And, like, we adore Connor. Couldn't be more thrilled that he is joining our family. Obviously, like, a huge, 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 happy, magical day. And we went on a big family trip to Hawaii a few weeks later and were able to celebrate there and have just been so happy. And Kylie's on cloud nine. So we love to hear that. Obviously, though, as we talk about with big life milestones, there is always that twinge of, like, mom's not here. And it's like, that's a really big one for her to not be there for. But there was a little bit of a way she kind of sort of was there that definitely was very eerie. So Kylie and Connor had been to this winery in Sonoma like many times, but he was planning to do it at this like gazebo garden on the property. And it was believable that they were going to have like the tasting person say, oh, you guys should go check it out, because weirdly they never had checked it out in all their times of going. So it was very believable. And my sister is just pretty clueless, but it was very believable. So they get walked out there by like the wine tasting host, and they're walking that way, and you know, they're acting too, and they get to the little like garden area where the gazebo is, and they just go, oh yeah, this is Carrie's garden. Apparently, this garden, unbeknownst to Connor, and even unbeknownst to Connor's mom who helped scout the area, the garden in which they got engaged is named Carrie's Garden. And Connor, in his mind, he obviously afterwards said, he was like, hold it together, hold it together. Like, he knew what was happening. Kylie didn't know what was happening yet. And then it's been like such a sweet thing. Like, after we, my dad and myself and some really close friends, were able to be there and surprise them after they kind of had their moment and took some pictures. And hearing that, like, this is Carrie's garden, we were just floored. So she found her way to be there and be involved, and it was very special. And we had a lot of like Veuve champagne, which she would have loved. And so we did everything we could to bring her in. And that garden naming was definitely a way she was brought in without us even planning on it. So that was pretty crazy. Like, whatever anyone believes in, like, the coincidence or sign of that way was pretty wild.
That is so incredible. It's funny that you said Veuve, because when you first said she found her way, I was like, oh, we had Veuve. There was a Veuve vendor somewhere nearby. But no, we had Carrie's Garden. That is just incredible. And I feel like I want to just obviously say congratulations to Kylie and Connor. Kelsey referred to Will as the team's boyfriend earlier, and I feel like Kylie is like the team's little sister. Like, she's just like all of ours. Like, we just love her. I was over the moon to see that online, and she deserves it so much. And I am just love the fact that it was named Carrie's Garden. Did you and Kylie talk about that after the fact? Like, kind of what were her initial thoughts?
We did a little bit, with the craziness of just being like, I can't believe it. And my dad too was like, no way. My dad was like, we need to get a sign made to put in the garden. Like, love it. It's private property, Dad. I don't know if that's a thing, but like, in, he was like, that's, I can't believe it. It's Carrie's Garden. Like, I didn't believe it at first. Like, I thought Connor just very sweetly like added that detail to find a way to involve her, but he was like, no, like, that's what they told me. So we were just in shock and just were like, add it to the list of all these crazy little signs and big moments to just remember, like, in her own way, she is there. And, but yeah, we haven't had like a deep, longer conversation about it, more of just looking at each other like, oh my God, like, cannot believe that. Couldn't have made that up or written that up any differently. Because of course it is like, my mom was so celebratory and like would have loved this stage of life of like both of her daughters getting engaged and married, and she would have adored Connor. And like, I can picture all of it, but it's just, yeah, absolutely nuts. And then going to Hawaii, that was a big one because it was the first time, because our family, like Mads's family, has a special relationship to Hawaii, and we've been going. Our grandparents got a timeshare there, kind of the mid-2000s, and we've had a lot of really wonderful memories there. We're really lucky, but we had a big gap in going, first because of COVID, and then my mom's passing, and then my Nana's health, and then Nana passing. So it was the longest gap we had between going. Our last trip was in 2019, and then we just went this past June 2025, and it was the last place we hadn't been to since my mom passed. So like we kind of knocked out a lot of those and more sentimental places in the like year or so window. So to have something come like 4 years later was kind of an odd delayed feeling, because we're all in a little bit more developed stages of our grief. Again, not that it's gone, but it's just not as sharp and as fresh and as prominent. And it surprised me that when I was in, I started going to a therapist in person, which I hadn't done in a while. I had like a grouping of sessions that was covered by work. So I took advantage of them and was kind of talking to her. It was like a little bit before the Hawaii trip. And I really surprised myself by how emotional I got, because one, I'm not all that emotional anyway. But two, that I didn't realize that feeling of like the anticipatory feeling of going back and being reminded of the memories, both for her and my Nana, that like it's like this same resort that we've been to. And I just have so many distinct memories, like in every crevice of the property and dinners, and obviously just so happy in some of our favorite places. And just can't believe that it's like, and both of them are gone. Cause it was the last place in my head where like the only memories I had there were with them. And so I like was even telling my therapist, I'm like, I am shocked myself that I'm like this emotional about it. Cause I always knew it was like a thing, but I didn't realize I had that many layers of kind of unearthed emotions. But I was glad I did that appointment in advance of Hawaii, because once I was there, I felt like I kind of processed and addressed. And of course, there were little moments that kind of stung here or there quickly. Like it was mostly a really, really, really wonderful, happy, special trip, and I was able to be present for it. And now, like Kylie and Connor are thinking about getting married in Kauai, not for a little bit, but like this place is so special to us and they loved it and we're so happy there. Like when coming in for the first time, Kylie and I were kind of alone walking down, and we both, I think, looked at each other, and without like saying words, I think we both just had the feeling of like, whoa, this is crazy, and it's not changed, and it's brought everything back. But yeah, that was shocking to me, that I was like, wow, it's been 4 years, and somehow it's deeply affecting me that I was returning.
That is such an interesting feeling. And that's kind of similar to how I've, you know, I've talked to you about the condos. Like everything's the same. Like it looks the same. Like the numbers are the same. The lamp fixtures are the same. And I guess you did kind of answer my next question when you said you did therapy beforehand. But you made the comment anticipatory. I was curious when that hit you. Like when did you start thinking about the fact that like, oh, it is a fun family trip to Hawaii, but like, oh, there's these other pieces and parts that are going to come up. Like how far in advance did you start to recognize that? And also, did you mention it or bring it up to any other members of your family that were going on the trip prior to going?
Good question. It was probably within the like 2-ish weeks out, maybe week and a half, 2 weeks out, that I was just starting to like think and feel it. And it was going to be something I was just going to in my head, like mention briefly to the therapist and like move on to another topic. And then it ended up being like such a unearthing sticking point. And I think my sister and I talked about it a little bit, and my dad, as he has tended to do, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, when we've like gone places where my mom is a big part of the memories, he like has brought like framed photos to like put like in his room or in his space of like all of us, including her, to like have her be there. And so like walking into his room the first time I did and like seeing the photo, and it was one of like our earliest photos there together. So, and then at our first like big family dinner, my uncle made like a really sweet toast acknowledging, you know, the members we have lost and the new members who were there. We had like the couple significant others and a new baby, and just kind of representing kind of circle of life almost. And I think my cousin Katie had like texted me about it a little and like talked about it. And I know like she even said when we were on the trip, like she was thinking about it and missing my mom and like feeling it too. So it was talked about and addressed some, and it was about like two-ish weeks out when I felt that. But then I do think, and that weirdly has been a tactic in case that helps anyone listening, that when something hypothetically big or sneakily big or triggering is coming, finding a space or a way to kind of like talk through and process that emotion in advance to just make it feel a little lighter when you're there or doing the thing, like before a big holiday, before an anniversary. I think if I like look back at the last 4 years, like that's always been a little helpful to me, because then I'm like, oh, I've kind of handled or addressed those feelings. I'm not just like suppressing them or they're not sneaking up on me. I'm like looking them in the eye and then handling it in some way. And not that they're gone completely, but it feels a little like I've addressed and acknowledged this.
I just, when I think I couldn't love your dad anymore, I did not know he brought framed photos. Like that is just, wow, amazing. No, and that's a really good tip that you said, is like being able to like talk it out, almost like put, like give it, it sometimes it takes some of the power away in a good way when it's like, hey, you can talk about it. And it's nice that your entire family was there too. And you were able to kind of like not remake the memories, but be able to like honor that she was there and that she was a part of it, and that your Nana obviously was also gone. And I know that that had to have been a big, it was noticeable loss, right? Like there was notice that these people weren't there on that trip with you. But I'm glad that you were able to like still, you know, learn how to enjoy it or figure it out, and like had the moment with Kylie, like walking, where you're just like acknowledging the fact that it's weird, because that's part of it too, right? Like you all feeling it, like you all know, you said your uncle made the toast, like these people aren't with us and this isn't right that we're all together, but like these people is what makes us like complete. Did you have any other moments on the trip that you were really, that really stand out, where you either mentioned it was even if it was internal that you would want to share, or with the group, another thing other than toast, or, you know, is there anything else that stands out to you about that trip when it comes to your mom and Nana?
I think it was a way, like knowing that Kylie and Connor, and they could still change their mind, but that they are excited about the idea of going back to get married there, which would be such like a beautiful place and so special. And like knowing that, you know, because it was so connected to the family and my mom and Nana and Pa, like all loved it so much, like a way to know, like, we're honoring her, we're honoring this place. It's like kind of in a weird way, a way to keep her in the fold of future things and the happy future things that are happening. So that was really kind of special to think about. I was able to fully, like, truly relax and enjoy the trip and feel like it was a real vacation, like from work and my day to day, and spend time like in big groups and small groups with all the different family members. I think, yeah, there might have been other little moments of things where there were flickers of she and I both like don't love birds and are kind of afraid of birds. We talked about, and there's so many like chickens running around. That like that's an element for me, and I know like she would have like been in the same boat as me for that type of thing. And just knowing like, oh, I was so like young 20s and a little anxious and like in such a different phase of life last time I was here, and I feel like a little bit more grounded and established in my life now, that it would have been that feeling of like, oh, it would have been so fun to like be here in Hawaii with her now and enjoy that now. But overall, like, definitely was able to enjoy. And now, weird to say, like, I think I've been back to all the places that are, like, meaningful to us and our family since she passed. But I do know your mom had a big birthday recently. Is that correct? And there may be some things that came up with that.
Yes, she did. I want to ask you one more question on that, because you just said something at the end that was very – you said that was the last place that you had been, that it was important to you and your family without her. Did that bring up anything, whether like bittersweet or like, no, I don't want to even going to try to put a feeling to it. Like, how did that feel?
Yeah. it definitely weird and complicated in that it's like, oh, there's a little bit of like extra heaviness before it was all the time. Like we went back to the Palm Desert spot or we went back to our cabin. Like those first times, because it was in such a fresher window, like were really hard and like overwhelming. And so in a weird way, to your point of bittersweet, it's a little like, okay, I don't need this like avalanche of like horrible emotional feelings and heaviness coming up anymore when I go to these places. And I've obviously now been back to like those places a handful of times. And while I still very much feel her there and feel connected to her there, it's not the same like shock that the first time comes with. So there, in a one hand, it's like, oh, like that's kind of nice. I like don't have to go back to places and feel this slap in the face. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, but we're out of place. Like that's how long she's been gone, is like we're out of places. We've hit everything. So that one is also a little weird and feels like niche. Like maybe that's not something that people think of like returning to meaningful places for the first time. But I have to imagine other people have experienced that too, even if it's as little as like my XYZ person who passed like love baseball games and like the first baseball game I went back. Like I'm sure every first back, like outside of just like holidays, can have that heaviness. So acknowledging that, yeah, it's definitely a mixed bag of it's not fun to do those first times, but it also is a marking of like, okay, it's been 4 years and like there's that. And then now it's the feeling of like creating all these new memories or creating new special places, and then her not being there is also another level. And as we always say, the layers, so many layers as always.
It's crazy to hear you say 4 years, because I know that's how long it's been. And we've been doing this podcast for like three-ish maybe. Like it feels like it was very new. It was newer whenever we started. And it's even I didn't know her and I wasn't a part of the beginning stages of that process with you. But it's like, I can't believe it's been 4 years. So I know that that's kind of what whenever you said that, I was like, I wonder, that's what made me think of that question. Like, I wonder how that feels, like that it is. And I'm proud of you, because I feel like there's a little bit of, even if it doesn't seem it, there's like a little bit of freedom there. Like you don't have to, you can go back to these places now. And it's not like you have to like, not that you won't worry, you won't have thoughts or you won't remember her, but you won't have this like big, almost like feeling on your chest. Like it's going to, you're going to have to, you don't know what to expect. Like now at least you know a little bit of what to expect there. So thank you for answering that question too. I know, as we say, there's layers. I was texting Kelsey before that we started recording and I was like, this story, I just was like, there's layers to the layers to those layers. Like there's just so many of them.
It's the best word and way to explain it though. Like there's no better way. There are so many freaking layers to everything. It is all, nothing is one dimensional. Everything is three dimensional with dimensions on the dimensions on the layers. So exactly. It's the language that we've created that makes sense to us.
Exactly. And while talking about your mom and your Nana, as you mentioned, yes, my mom turned 60 this year, which is awesome. And she had a complicated relationship with her mom. And I think I've told you guys, like I was very, very close with my grandma. And so on her birthday, for example, my mom would randomly be texting. I've mentioned this before, but she's been texting and be like, oh, I miss my mom. Just like straight up, like no bullshit. So for her birthday this year, I decided to try to make my grandma's cake for her, which was like her favorite thing. And I also was using my grandma's mixer, because I know I've said that in the past. If you're a new listener, I got my grandma's mixer when she passed away. So I was trying to make this cake for her, trying to do, you know, the ways that that my grandma did. She was just amazing at everything in the kitchen. And I texted my friend and I was like, it's really fucked up that I can't just like call my grandma and ask how she got her frosting to whip that way. Like I'm trying to figure it out here. And the cake turned out fine. It was nothing like Grandma Carol's, but you know, it's the thought that counted there. But we found a couple different ways between that. And I paid someone on Etsy to draw the barn and frame that for my mom. So we kind of had an overall celebration, and still kind of brought up her parents and brought up the time the space that she could, you know, talk about it or not. And we didn't really talk about it. But I remember showing her cake was really cool and her pictures that I got done. And I got her also a locket that was a bracelet. And then if you open it up, etched inside is an older picture of my grandma, an older picture of my grandpa. And I have a pretty cool photo of that. And it was on Etsy from a really cool seller. So I'm happy to share that too. If anybody, we could post it. But if anybody is you know, into looking for gifts or ways to help celebrate those people that have lost, that we've lost. It was pretty cool. So I was glad we got to celebrate that milestone and still kind of have a little bit of grandma in there. And she would probably like say my cake was just so good, even though it was definitely not the same, obviously at all. But it's fun to find those ways to continue to like live, have your people live on through what you're doing. And made it with her mixer. So maybe next time it'll be a little bit better.
It was that much more authentic that it was with her real mixer. And I'm sure your mom was just so touched by the gesture and you acknowledging that if you don't talk about it a lot, she's been willing to share with you that she misses her. So did your mom, like, did whether it was like a brief reaction or anything she said or did, like, how did she react to you with both the drawing, the cake, and also I guess the locket too?
Yeah, so she we talk about it. I feel comfortable talking to her about it, but she also knows how special they were to me. And so we did get to talk a bit about my grandpa at lunch on her birthday and like a little bit about them and just telling their stories. But when I brought out the cake, I couldn't even tell you. I was so nervous. Will was there. I'll have to ask him. I think she was just like, oh my gosh, like you're kidding. And it was funny because the night before her birthday, I had already had this plan. I had been messaging with my an aunt on that side that we don't really keep up with, but trying to get intel about how grandma used to make this cake. It's a German chocolate cake with like a weird marshmallowy frosting, something that only she would make and it'd be delicious. And I asked my mom what her favorite cake was, and she was like, the same as yours, which is a white cake with vanilla chocolate frosting. And I was like, really? Like, it's not like there's nothing else? And she's like, well, you know, I didn't say it because it's not obtainable. Like, I can't get it anymore, but I really loved grandma's German chocolate cake. It was like my best cake I've ever had in my life. And so little did she know as I was going home that night and making it. So she was very, very touched. And when she opened up her drawing, she just was like, I don't exactly remember exactly what she said. She's like, oh, and she just like hugged it and she just like loved it. And she texted me, like twice since then. Her birthday was June 28th. And she's texted me a couple of different times and just been like, oh, I just love my bracelet, her like little locket bracelet. So it's cool. I think it's a really cool way to show her that I understand her and I see her and I meet her there and I'm having these feelings and miss them all the same because we did have that relationship. I feel like it's been kind of not that there's ever a plus side to losing someone you love so deeply, but it's been nice because we continuously do like find ways to at least me and her like talk about him or show up or make a recipe or right now I'm playing with, she gave me like my grandma's ring to borrow. So like we just have different ways that we are able to keep it up, even if it's just between her and I, which is kind of special there too. So it was all really good and she was really happy. And she had two drinks at in the afternoon and had to take a nap with Eloise after. So it was the perfect way to spend 60.
No, that's perfect. And I think, like you said, silver lining with an asterisk, we know what you mean, that it's a way, if you're close with somebody already and you've like shared the loss, and if you guys are in your own little bubble, finding ways to honor that person, it brings you closer in a very intimate, special way. So that is kind of a beautiful thing that comes with loss when you can really like find that community and extra thoughtfulness and togetherness with somebody to kind of work together to keep the spirit alive. So I do think that's beautiful, and happy belated 60th to your mom. That's awesome. I definitely feel like we should link in the episode both Etsy shops, the one that did the barn drawing. So if anyone has a special place and you need like a cool drawing of it, and I've seen that online, but if you have someone that you liked it and the locket, I feel like those are both awesome. Awesome gifts to give somebody like in grief.
Yeah, I just made a note of that, and I'll be sure and I can share some photos and stuff too. Let's see if I get back to wanting to work on my this well lovely product with my lovely friends. Bad joke there to wrap that up, but no, it was really cool. And I did find out when we were talking at lunch that I didn't know this, but apparently, when my grandpa was passing away, if you are newer or not, he passed away, and my mom was there for the week before he passed away because he was kind of in a hospice situation. I made it right before he died, but when I made it, he wasn't awake and I couldn't talk to him. But my mom told me at her birthday that she had had put on audio voice memos and just was asking him questions and just recorded him talking out stories like 2 days before he died of stories that she didn't know, and no one's listened to them since because she can't get herself to do it. And obviously I was like, I need access to those. And Will, my partner, is a big musician and has a studio, and so I was kind of talking with her about maybe we could have him take a swing at them and like cut them out into pieces, or even just like listen to them for us and tell it, like, you know, slice it up that way, to kind of listen. But there's stories that are recorded in his voice that we've never heard. So hopefully in the next few years, we'll be able to kind of have a little bit of, she just hasn't been able to open them, which I totally understand, but it's such a cool thing that I didn't realize we had. So I'm excited to dig into those in the future.
Oh my gosh. What a, like, in such a hard time at the end, but if they're with it and able to talk, like, what a genius idea. Like, obviously hard, and I understand for her that it's been hard to go back to, but to capture those stories in his voice and have like this new dimension of him you get to connect with that you didn't even realize, that's crazy. Yeah, have Will like make sure they're like saved properly. And yeah, maybe he can edit them almost in like little chapters so it doesn't feel as daunting to like listen to one big thing at once, and then just like at everyone's own speed and pace when they feel comfortable listening, they can listen. But whoa.
I know. I think
what, like, finding that out must have been mind-blowing if you didn't even know they existed.
I like, we were at this little local crepe restaurant that we love, and I feel like I almost like, I put my hands on the table. I was like, what? And she's like, you knew about that. And she told me she told me, and she probably did, but in, you know, in a grief brain, we're not thinking about that stuff. And I think that for another gift down the line, maybe for next year's birthday, it would be cool to somehow get them and do that with, like you said, with Will, like either chop them up into bite-sized pieces, put them on a flash drive or in a Google Drive and be like, if we want them, when you want them. And I'm really excited to hear what he said. And I've said it before, he's like, was my biggest fan and I was his, and he's just the best. And the fact that there's still a piece of him, I go back and listen to voicemails sometimes of him calling me, or calling me thinking it was my mom on accident. It's really exciting to have another piece of him to kind of discover 5 years after he's passed, 4 years after he's passed. So yeah, there'll be more to come from that, hopefully. But I thought that was a cool takeaway from as we were talking about them. And if I never gave her those gifts, I might have never found that out, you know? Like, it was just really cool.
Wow. Like, yeah, like opened a dimension of her like willing to think about that and process that. And then even though it was hard for her to think about it, she was able to like, yeah, reshare. Like you said, if you knew in the like the immediate haze aftermath, like you're not processing stuff. But I'm excited for you, as weird as that sounds, to be able to connect with him in another way and like hear his voice and hear stories, and of course emotional, but also really cool and special,
and like stories that I've never known too. Like it's like I'm sure that I've known some of them, but like she said she just put the voice memo on and just let him talk. I don't even know how long they are, but she did it days up to his death. And like I said, last time I saw him, he wasn't able to communicate with me, so it'll be, I'm excited to, whenever we have anybody has the capacity to dig into that, I think it's really cool. So thank you for asking about that. It was a nice way to honor them on her day.
I love that. And I feel like that's a great, helpful note to end on too. I love you, Mads. Thanks for doing it.
I love you today. Too.
I'm glad we did it. It brought, as hard and heavy as the topics are, it always adds to my day whenever we can record. And now we can check it off the bingo card, our combination of a combo episode that we've done. Officially, all pairings have been done now. Kath, we miss you. But everyone listening, please follow, subscribe. We're on Instagram. We're on all the places you can listen to podcasts. Share an episode with a friend or anyone in your life who's grieving and needs it. Thank you for listening and supporting and standing by us. As I know, we've been producing fewer episodes than normal, but we are still wanting to do this and show up, and we appreciate all of you.
Bye.